the importance of being different and why it is that we're supposed to be different. What does that do? Is cussing a sin? Well, no, cussing might not specifically be mentioned so much in the Bible, but sure does hurt your witness. Is drinking a sin? Nah, well, you know, being drunk is definitely a sin, those types of things. Like the Bible, like it's a gray area, but you know what? It really definitely hurts your witness. You know, is gossiping a sin? Well, you know, there's all these little gray areas, like what is, no, but it definitely hurts your witness. And we start talking about how we have to be different and how the importance of being different is pretty much fundamental in Christianity. 2 weeks ago, my mom said to me, my dad was supposed to have surgery last week, and she said, hey, you know what you should do? You should say to your dad that you want to preach. And I looked at her and said, I have never once in my life had a desire to preach. I'm willing to preach, but never have I had a desire to preach. Like, I don't enjoy it. Like, and people, that surprises people because of the fact that, like, I am outgoing, I like to talk, all of those things. No, I like to interact. I do not like to talk. When I teach a class in my classroom, they're like, oh, you teach all the time, this isn't going to be a big deal. No, when I teach in my classroom, it's 100% interaction. This is me just talking. And I like to talk a lot. And if you ask anybody, they know that I can talk about anything for a prolonged period of time. The theme that I keep coming back to is being different from the world. If we are no different than the world, there's no reason for them to seek Jesus. If we are the exact same as them, then why would they need to be like us? And I think that we really, really have a hard time with this because of the fact that everything can destroy your witness. The Bible says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most out of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off, and immediately I do what every normal person does, is I get very, very frustrated at that person. And I look at the back of their car and there it is, right there, a Jesus sticker. And I think to myself, like, I was mad, like, because of the fact, how dare they cut me off, this rude person, what it is. Then I watch them cut three more people off as they're going 95 down the highway, and off they go. But the only thing I remembered about that car was that they cut me off and that they had a Jesus sticker. They were a billboard for Jesus just because they had that on their car. We are a billboard for Jesus all the time. Because if you say you are a Christian, then no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter who you are talking to, no matter what it is, you are a billboard for Christianity. Kara, I like to point out that I have a tendency to do things when I don't like the way that people drive that aren't very Christian. I tried to tell her yes, but I don't have a Christian bumper sticker. And she told me, yes, that doesn't make it any better. This is me preaching with you, not to you, because of the fact that I need to know these things too. And I have a tendency to not always go the right way. But it's the same thing with everything. I mean, the youth talk about a lot of time. Their big issues are cussing, drinking, sex, etc. It's no different than the issues that we're having. And it's no different than the issues that you guys see and all of those things. And the number one issue that I see is social media. People look at you and they see Christian. So when you post on social media, what they do is they directly reflect that with Christianity. God's a God of love. God's a God of all of those things. If you read a post and it is showing someone in a light that is not in love, rethink it. I've unfollowed half of the people on my Facebook account because I just can't do it anymore. The world right now is so divided and so polar opposite, and it seems like that we are only hearing the extremists right now, and it's extremely important that we aren't those extremists. Unless your extremist is love, don't do it. If you can't love a police officer, if you can't love a protester, if you can't love a someone that is rioting, if you can't love someone that wears masks or love someone that doesn't think they should have to wear a mask, then there is a problem, because we're the same as everybody else. That's what the world is doing right now. The world is so divided, and the only thing that – this should be the time where people are flocking to Christianity, because we are so different. Because all we're doing is spreading the love of Jesus, yet we can't get out of our own ways because we keep jumping right on the bandwagon of the world. That's my little rant. I promise that's the only thing of the very much COVID that you're going to hear throughout this. But continuing on, the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope. That's what we should be spreading right now. Hope. You have to be different. And we're going to walk through some ways that it is that we need to look at ourselves and to be different. But the verse that we're focused on today is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. A couple things in here. It says living sacrifice. That means that you have to sacrifice. You have to give something up. Your proper worship isn't singing. Your proper worship isn't just praying. It is singing, but it isn't just singing. It isn't just praying. It isn't just, you know, all. It's an all-inclusive of everything that you're supposed to be. It's being a sacrifice. It's being a living sacrifice. It is surrendering. The main takeaway I take from this verse is that you have to be different. To sacrifice means that you are going against everything that your body is telling you that you should be doing. So therefore, if you are doing just going along with the flow, you are not sacrificing. You are not being a living sacrifice to Jesus. So that is a difference. We are different and we have to be different. So the first step that we must do is we must evaluate ourselves. I made a little thing with the little like write-in things, which was very hard for me. He said, "Where is your outline?" And I said, I don't know. I didn't do an outline. I made an outline, which is hopefully going to keep me linear. But the first one, and it's not underlined, and it should be, but it says evaluate. We have to evaluate ourselves. I think that evaluating yourselves probably is more difficult than we actually think. See, we as believers, we think we're good self-evaluators. Everyone thinks they're a good self-evaluator. I know that I think that I'm a good self-evaluator. I mean, I can look at a lot of other people and say, I can't believe that they are acting like that. Or how would they not see that there is something wrong with what they are saying? They are sounding so stupid or so idiot or so all kinds of other things, some of which I won't say. Yet rarely do I look at myself and think those exact same things. I mean, if I was thinking that I was doing something stupid or saying something stupid, I wouldn't say it. I don't say things just because of the fact that I want to say stupid things. I say things because I think it's smart, or I think that people need to hear it, or all of those things. It's important that we are good self-evaluators. People are looking at you and asking those same questions about you. When you post things, when you say things, when you are around other people, when you are doing things, they're saying, how do they not see that they are doing this? We have to come to the point as Christians where we are good self-evaluators, where we can take an honest look at ourselves and say, hey, these are things that I'm struggling with. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to screw up. It means that you're able to recognize that there is a problem. I cannot stand people that drive in the left lane. That is for passing. Nothing infuriates me more than passing someone in the right lane. If you drive in the left lane, please stop, because you raise my blood pressure and it is not good. Sometimes you make me think unchristian thoughts, which is bad. But I find myself sometimes when I've zoned out when I'm driving, and yes, I do that a lot, in the left lane. I'm never mad at myself for being in the left lane when somebody passes me on the right. I was in the left lane. No, this is not a big deal. But when someone else is in the left leg, God help us all, because that person is going to maybe have some road rage. So it's hard to be a good self-evaluator. As a teacher, I get the opportunity to be on a lot of job interviews. And job interviews are really, really interesting. Also, I've changed jobs a couple times. And they always ask one question. Does anybody know the one question that everybody asks? What is your weakness? That is exactly it. It's great to watch people. I love when they ask that question. I always like to ask if I can ask that question, because it's my favorite one to watch, because everybody knows it's coming, but no one ever knows how to answer it. Now, some of the times you don't want to answer it because of the fact that you don't want to tell them what their biggest weakness is. Like if I go to a teaching job and I tell them that my biggest weakness is that I struggle following the rules sometimes and I'm a horrible, horrible at organization, they're probably not going to hire me. It's true. And I know it's bad about me, but they're probably not going to hire me. But it's funny. Like I watch, and I remember this one interview that I was in, and this person just said, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know what your biggest weakness is? You have to know what your biggest weakness is. You knew that question was going to come up. I don't know. I don't know what my biggest weakness is. I'm sure I have them. I think sometimes as Christians, we do that. We're unable to evaluate ourselves. We're unable to look inside and see what it is that we are struggling with. And some of it is pride. We aren't willing to admit that we're struggling with it. Others of it is, frankly, ineptness, where we don't see it. We see it in others, but we can't see it in ourselves. Similar to pride. Pretty much the same thing, actually. But I think it's a fundamental skill for all Christians an effective Christian. As Christians, we have to be strong self-evaluators so we know if we are conforming to the world. That's what that verse said. It said, do not conform to the world. If you can't evaluate yourself, how do you know you're conforming to the world? How do you know if you're being a living sacrifice? You have to evaluate yourself to know those things. I mean, I guess you can wait till somebody tells you, but nobody's going to tell you the honest opinion. I don't think that when I get done here and I walk off, anybody's going to look at me and say, wait, man, that was horrible. No, nobody was going to say that to me. They're all going to give me uplifting things. Well, Rick might, evidently. No, like, I think that people are going to look at you, and most of the people of the world, are they're going to tell you the positive things. And that's a good thing. We should be telling each other the positive things. Another thing we talk about youth, we don't do that enough, is just share the positives about each other and our friendships and tell the people what we like. But it's more important for you to realize it yourself. If you don't realize it yourself, you're never going to change it. The Bible has hundreds of verses about the importance of this skill, evaluating yourself. You don't believe me? Look it up. Because when I typed in, because he said I needed verses to make sure I had verses to back everything. So I typed in, what does the Bible say about evaluating yourself? The first search result is top 100 verses about the Bible in evaluating yourself, which tells me there are over 100 verses. So it obviously is an important skill. If there are more than 100 verses about it in the Bible, then it's an important skill. I picked one of the 100 because I liked it. It was short and I enjoyed it. So I picked Psalm chapter 119, verse 59 is, I consider my ways and turn my feet toward your testimonies. You got to be able to consider your ways and turn them towards what God wants you to. That's the ultimate goal, is to be doing what God wants. I'm pretty sure, just like I don't make have a conversation or say something that I think is going to be stupid. I don't think that anybody in this room or anybody listening is doing something and thinking that they're trying to go against what God wants. I don't even think most non-Christians would say they're trying to go against what God wants. Nobody wants to go against God wants. It just happens sometimes because it's hard. And the only way you're going to realize these things is if you can become a good self-evaluator. If you can look at yourself, figure out what's wrong, and go. Next is the second step, which is to submit. If you thought evaluating was hard, this one's harder. Submitting is probably one of the most difficult things for any of us to do. I know I recently got married. It's very hard to submit sometimes. I'm pretty sure she probably struggles with it too. But Romans talked about offering our bodies as living sacrifice. A sacrifice means you have to give something up. Sacrifice is synonymous with submitting. Nobody likes to submit. So therefore, to submit must be a sacrifice. This leads to an important leap in our Christian walk. God's desire is you to become more than just a believer. His desire is for you to become a disciple. There's a big difference between a believer and a disciple. A believer is somebody that believes and has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That person is taking care of everything individually that they need to have their ticket to heaven, which is ultimately our goal. Our goal is to get into heaven. If I asked everybody in this room, what is your ultimate goal? Hopefully you are going to say, my ultimate goal is to get into heaven, because that is supposed to be in the Bible what it is. The problem is that's a little O. Being a believer is a little O, our goal. My goal is for me to get into heaven. If you have a big O, because you have Jesus living inside of you, that means that you have to have God's goal. God's goal is for you to be a disciple, very different than a believer. It just has that and word instead of the or word. And means that it's inclusive and you have to do it. So therefore, disciple has more. It's just the first step is believing, then it has more steps. Billy Graham says a couple things about a disciple. A disciple is simply someone who believes in Jesus and seeks to follow him on his or her daily life. That same thing as a believer. They believe in Jesus. They follow him on a daily life. That is the definition of a believer. But that also is the first step of being a disciple. It also means, most of all, that we want to learn from him. Good news, you're all doing that. You are at church. That's good, because that's learning from him. That's not the final step. Praying. I hope that you guys are all praying. That's good. I hope you guys are doing that. That's not the final step. Reading the Bible. Going and getting involved in a small group or a group of people that have like minds that are going to help you grow. When you leave here, your mission field starts. So therefore, you better be reaching out to other people. You better be doing more than just being the Sunday Christian or the Sunday and Wednesday Christian or the Christmas Christian or any of those things. You better be actually diving into his word. You better be talking about him with people. You better be growing in your faith. That takes more than someone telling you and spoon feeding you those things. You have to become a self feeder, because a disciple is more than just a believer. A believer is being fed mostly. A disciple is starting to feed themselves some. And starting to hopefully gain the ability to feed others. And the last thing that Billy Graham said, it also means we want to put God's word into action by seeking to live the way Christ wants us to live. With God's help, thank God every day for his great love for you and ask him to help you share his love with others. Dare to be different. Share his love with others. Disciples don't just focus on themselves getting to heaven. They're not just believers. Disciples focus on getting everybody into heaven. You can't expect, and you can't tell people that they're wrong and expect them to listen to you. I was listening to a study on what it is that Christians, the most frustrating things Christians are with us, non-Christians are with Christians when they talk about their faith. Number one was that we don't let them come to their own conclusion. God lets us come to our own conclusion. It's important that when we're doing there, we're not just telling them what they're doing wrong, that we're showing them how it is that they're supposed to live. We're doing that by our actions every day, not just when we're talking to them. Because if you're talking to them about Jesus, they're watching you 100% of the time to see if you're actually living what you preach. Because one of the most frustrating things they say about us is that we are hypocrites, that we say one thing and do another. And sadly, I think that a lot of times they're right. If we're not different, they have no reason to follow Jesus. If we, the believers, aren't practicing what we're preaching on a daily basis when nobody's watching, then there is no reason for them to join the faith or seek God or ask those important questions when they're alone by themselves, which is, God, are you real? And letting him show them to them. Never have I read a Facebook post where I had an opinion and someone posted the opposite opinion, and I looked and I read that post that they are slandering me, and I said, oh, well, you know what? I changed my opinion. They made a very valid point. I've never done that. It's the same thing with non-Christians. When you sit there and you tell them everything they're doing wrong, they're not going to listen to you because of the fact that they've immediately shut you off. To reach others, we have to get out of our own way and we have to submit. Step two of submission is renew your mind from the world's way of thinking, feeling, and believing to God's way of thinking, feeling, and believing. So that's the second part of Romans, is basically, you know, living sacrifice, go with God's way of thinking, and don't follow the world's way of thinking. So to do that, we need to know what it is the world way of thinking is. Because if you are going to evaluate yourself and figure out if you are doing the world's way of thinking and you are then going to submit, you better be able to know what it is that actually the world's way of thinking. So we have to look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 to find out what God says the world's way of thinking is. It says, as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world is defined to us as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that the world has to offer can be reduced into these three things. The lust of the flesh. Those are your ones that we talk about in youth a lot of times. Those are your drinking, your food, your sex, your desires, and anything else that is going to do with the body. The lust of the mind. The lust of the mind is going to deal with your coveting of other people's stuff. It's going to deal with your thinking negatively about someone or wanting something that isn't yours. It's going to all happen up here. And the last thing is the pride of your life. And I think this is one that is a gigantic struggle. The pride of your life is when you're defined by the ambition for what puffs you up and puts others down. It puts you on a throne of your own life, not God's life. So that's the world. It's what the world is doing. The world focuses on number one, and that's them. They are number one. We can't focus on number one. We got to focus on that 99th sheep. We listen to the song. It's on the river like every 13 minutes. We got to be that way. So that's the world. So we better see what God's way of thinking is. God's way of thinking, if only he were to show us, because of the fact that I'm a firm believer that you can't tell someone something, you must show them. If only God had done that, then this would be so much easier. Oh, wait, he had that Jesus guy come and live an entire life where he showed us his way of thinking. And if you look at Jesus' life, what did he do? One, he was a living sacrifice. There's no better definition than Jesus being a living sacrifice. I mean, he literally died for us. It wasn't like a living sacrifice like us, like we must submit, we must get out of our own way, we must, you know, all of those things. For him, he actually died for us when he didn't do anything wrong. If that was the extremist point of view for you, you better be doing that every single day. God's way of thinking is a way of love and is a way of compassion, is a way of humility. I mean, Jesus, he could have, if Jesus wanted to, people would have been lining up to, you know, hear him, like paying billions of dollars for him to come and speak. I mean, I would, if we could get Jesus to come right now, and I bet you we'd pack out. I bet you we wouldn't be able to fit people in here if we had Jesus coming to speak. But it's one of those things, like, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. He didn't do that, and he didn't want that. He could have done it if he wanted to. But no, he went out and he talked to people, and people just crowded around him because of who he was. They didn't crowd around him because of the fact that he was trying to lift himself up. I mean, that Satan tried to tempt him into that. And he was like, no. He could have had anything he wanted. Satan said, you could have anything you want. And he was like, no. So therefore, we need to be that way. Sometimes we're going to have to put ourselves down to lift others up. That's okay. Sometimes we're not going to have to get frustrated at the person that cuts you off. I'm going to do my best. Probably not. I'm going to probably fail a lot because that really, really frustrates me. But we have to get out of our own way sometimes, and all of these little issues, we have to kind of let them go, or else we're not doing what God's way is, and we're kidding ourselves. We're going through the motions. And again, I think this is something that we all struggle with. I say we as because I'm included in that. I'm hoping I'm not saying we, the me, myself, and I version, and I'm hoping that it's more people need to hear it than just me, but I know I need to hear it. The last step is in the daring to be different is the expect results. This is something that we need to do all the time. My guess is if the majority of you were being honest with yourself, you came this morning because of the fact that it is Sunday and you come to church, not because of the fact that you were totally expecting something miraculous to happen today. Do I think that you came probably expecting to hear something that you could take with you and use? Yeah. But we don't expect results nearly enough as Christians. We say things like, I know the right words to say. If I'm praying for healing, I know all the right words. I went through an entire class to do it. But I'm going to be completely honest with you. Most of the time, I think I'm not going to make somebody's leg grow. That's not in me. I mean, if I'm being real with myself, it's hard. Those things are hard. It's hard to expect results. But God tells us to. And if God tells you to do it, you do it. If not, you get spit out of a whale. The thing that Christians often lack, we all know that God is all powerful and can do anything. We know that he has a plan for our life, yet we really don't expect anything to happen. If you follow steps 1 and 2, which hopefully you wrote them down because they're hard to remember sometimes, then it's obvious that things are going to happen. Your priorities are going to get changed. If you submit to Jesus's wants and desires, you are going to change on the inside. If you are able to evaluate yourself and figure out what is wrong and what you are doing that is unpleasing to God, there is no way that you cannot change. And there is no way you will not find yourself something that you can change better for Jesus. Impossible. When you desire to be Jesus' disciple, committed to him, priorities in your life get changed. Ask the Lord what happened to get changed in your life and your daily activity and your plans. He will show you. If you ask him, he will show you. When you're in your prayer time, ask him. I don't think I pray too many times and say, hey, God, what am I doing wrong? I should, because I do a lot wrong. It should be common sense, but oddly, it's not. The next thing is your character is going to get changed. You are going to act different. If you are evaluating yourself, if you are submitting to God's will, you are going to become a different person, and people are going to notice that. That's going to lead you to a lot of opportunities. When I was losing all my weight, and I hope to do it again, but I was losing all my weight. And when I started losing my weight, nothing really changed. Like I lost 10, 15 pounds. Nothing really changed. I lost 30 pounds. A couple of people started to notice. I lost 50 pounds. A lot of people started to notice. I lost 75 pounds. People were coming to me and asking me what I was doing. I lost 100 pounds, and everyone was coming to me and wanting to start whatever it is that I was doing. I lost 125 pounds, and now it's like one of those things. When I started to make the change, everybody came. When I lost the first 5-10 pounds, nobody was coming and being like, hey, what are you doing? Nobody noticed. But over a prolonged period of time, people started coming and asking. It's great. If you change the way you're acting on a daily basis, guess what people are going to do? They're going to come and ask you what changed. What's the big difference? That is the biggest gateway into bringing somebody to Jesus that I can figure out, is just changing who you are by evaluating what it is that you're doing that God doesn't like and changing that. Because your character is going to get changed. People are going to notice. People are going to start reaching out to you, which is going to be awesome. regarding God's part, we are told that in the scriptures that he is working according to his will and purpose for your life. We are also told that God will complete his work so that you will be like Jesus in your future. We know that God is the one who puts into your heart the desires to be like Jesus. He wants that for you. He puts that desire in your heart so you want it too. And the Bible teaches us that God gives you everything you need to be godly, starting with the Holy Spirit empowering presence inside you. That's God's part. Your part involves renewing your mind through studying God's word in the Bible to see how to approach his life in his way. That's the dare to evaluate part. Your part also involves having a desire for God's work in you to give you the character of Christ when you long for his work in your life. You will want to submit to what he is doing and ask for him to change you. As you submit to the Spirit of transforming power, he will clothe you with compassion, kindness, humility, and all those other qualities in Jesus. Your part requires commitment to doing life God's way. That's part of transformation process. Jesus modeled for us how to approach life God's way and how to live in the dependence upon him in the process. Now God will complete his part. You'll see some of it during your lifetime as he changes your life, but you definitely be transformed completely after your life on earth ends and you begin your life in heaven. That's a promise. The results we can expect until then are that we are better able to know and follow God's will and therefore do what it is that is pleasing to God with our lives. By faith, you can dare to be different from the world. Accept that challenge and trust him to help you to do that in your life. Guys, we are in a very unique time. Right now, the world is in crumbles and they should be cramming into the doors and asking you guys questions and all of those things because of the fact that they are turning to Jesus because of the fact that they're scared. They're hopeless and all of those things. Yeah, we're not, that doesn't seem to be totally happening. We look back at 9/11 and I remember there were secular bands all over the place singing about songs about turning to God because of the fact that something crazy had happened and something had rocked our entire world. Well, if guys, our entire world is rocked, there might not be an NFL season. And if there's not an NFL season, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right now, though, like, this should be the easiest time for you. People should be looking at you, seeing the hope, the joy, all of those things, and saying, what is different about you? What is it that you have that I want? Because when you have something that they want, they're going to ask you about it. So use it. Take this time. Be different. Don't be like the world. Don't get caught up in what the world wants. Don't get caught up in what social media is trying to encourage you to have your focus on, because it's hard. Right now, the focus everywhere is the exact same thing. You turn on any news. I can't even listen to sports radio and not hear about what's going on. Our focus needs to be on something else. We need to have that focus, and that's going to make us different. That's what's going to drive it is that is going to drive people to Christianity, is us, big you. I know this because of the fact that I did forget to tell you where it is. I'm sure you all noticed it because I pointed it out, but there was a little H in there that should have been a big H. And lots of little G's in here that should have been big G's in my notes. But I'll blame that on Microsoft Word. So, anyway, the epilogue. Pastor Steve, I kind of already talked about at the beginning, but please, please, please pray for him. He is very much struggling. I don't know if you know this about my dad, but one thing that he does not do well is, like me, you've noticed I've moved around a lot, he likes to move. He is also a social being, so being cooped up, which I'm sure that, I mean, we used to go on cruises where everyone knew Stevie. Like, we would get front line, like, they would move us to the front of the line because all of the workers knew my dad because he would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go and talk to them about Jesus and all of those things, and then they would know and we would get moved to the front. Like, my dad is a social being, so I'm sure all of those hospital workers right now are going crazy because their life is completely hectic and he won't stop talking to them or trying to get out of his bed. But pray for him. Pray that he heals fast, that he recovers so he can come back, because I know he misses everybody. Pray that he figures out what's going on and all of those things. The next thing is the world right now. If you're not praying for the world on a daily basis, there's something wrong, because the world right now is in shambles. And we are the light. Again, big W. We are the ones that are supposed to spread the light to the darkness that is out there. And hopefully you agree with me that being different is the way that we're going to do that.